If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is my favorite part of the show. It may not be yours, but I learn more from Gary Ginsberg every week. Gary Ginsberg, whatstoxic.com website. He is an absolute pro. And when we got this question yesterday, and you can email us anytime, udocs@gmail.com, we got a question. This is someone who put in a new HVAC system in his office, and he noticed in the last 3 days, and when he talked to the person who cleans it, they said it's happened all the time since they put it in. There's a fine aluminum dust, he thinks, and aluminum little particles that are coming through the system, and he wonders if he's breathing it. Has there been any damage in the 3 months since he's put a new system in? And what should he do? Gary, no one's better to answer this.
Yeah, well, it sounds to me like the installers of his new HVAC system didn't do a good job of cleaning out the ducts and vacuuming up whatever mess filings they left behind. And so, of course, in an air duct system, it's just going to recirculate and put into your airflow whatever dust and dirt that they left behind. Aluminum is not that toxic unless in an occupational setting where you're exposed to it day in, day out at relatively high levels. So I don't, and especially if you could see the dust, it's probably relatively large particle size, probably not getting into the deep lungs, so I wouldn't worry too much about it if I was him, but I would want that company to come back and do a thorough cleanup places he can't reach and see because it's in the ductwork, but I'd want them to come back and clean up the mess they left behind.
Perfect. Okay, now let's talk about the subjects that you gathered, the pesticides and imported teas. My wife has all these teas. We must have 4,000 different varieties at home. You know, she collects two things that, thank God, aren't very expensive. It's not like jewelry collection. She collects cards. We have four filing cabinets, full-length filing cabinets. If you have a birthday on any date of the year, she will be able to find a card for you. If you have an anniversary, etc. And the other thing she collects are teas.
So you've got the Hallmark wife, but she's also a tea collector. Well, you know, tea is something we don't think about with a lot of pesticides, but they actually do use a lot of pesticides to grow tea, apparently, especially overseas in places that are very warm. You can get a lot of different kinds of bugs, mold growing in it. So our tea, they're not residues. There are acceptable tolerance levels put out by US EPA for how much of different pesticides can be in tea. And this story coming out of India talked about a phasing out of one pesticide, endosulfan. Now, endosulfan is a pesticide in tea that should not be there any longer. EPA tried to revoke all the tolerances of it in 2011, and because other countries, this was impacting the tea-growing world, they couldn't meet the phase-out because they were so dependent on using endosulfan to kill bugs, that EPA extended the tolerances for endosulfan in tea to 2016. Now, these tolerances are mostly set up to protect the public. So if you're above the tolerance, it may be risky, but the tolerance is acceptable. There's no evidence that teas coming into this country have too much endosulfan. Endosulfan is pretty toxic, but at low enough levels, we can handle a trace of it in our tea. But what EPA is trying to do is get these countries to use safer pesticides. This particular story out of India said that what they're switching to is a really nasty toxic organophosphate called monocrotophos. And monocrotophos has been banned since the early 1990s in this country. So what I have learned in doing research on tea is that there are, for example, Bigelow has a lot of domestically grown tea. tea. There is a lot of tea that's either grown in this country or you can buy as certified organic. So if you want, so if you drink a lot of tea, this is for people who drink a lot of tea. All right. If you don't, if you have the occasional once a week cup of tea, or maybe drink a little bit more in the wintertime in the cold months, it probably doesn't matter because the residue levels are so low. But if you want to support a better form of agriculture, and if you want, and if you drink a lot of tea, you want to make sure the levels are safe for you, I would look for domestically grown tea. There's a, there, you know, there are places like South Carolina that grow a lot of tea. They're not using these toxic pesticides. And also, try to find organic or domestically grown teas. But if you drink tea once in a while, I wouldn't worry a whole lot about it.
So occasionally, don't worry about it. Otherwise, go domestic.
If you're a heavy tea drinker, yeah, and look for domestic. I know Bigelow has their own farm in South Carolina. You do a little bit of research, and you should be able to find some domestic or organic, and that would get rid of the pesticides. Until EPA really sorts this all out, because they right now are under the crosshairs, and FDA has to check for monocrotophos. They're starting to use more of that overseas. We don't want that in our tea, and FDA better be on alert looking for that. And the price and the toll it pays on the workers who are exposed and spraying this stuff in the field under primitive conditions in India, that's really, you know, if you want to have cruelty-free cosmetics, that's great, but let's also go for cruelty-free tea.
I like that. Now, what about asthma in kids and phthalate exposure in the mom? Is that a problem?
Yeah, you know, this is research out of Columbia University. They studied 300 inner-city moms out of New York City, and they looked for whether there's a link. There has been some data prior to now that suggests that kids in the environment they grow up in, if there's more phthalates in their environment and in their bodies, they tend to have higher allergenicity, higher rates of asthma. This looked at prenatal exposure, and if the mom had more phthalate, which could be coming from cosmetics, as I've talked about on this radio show before, or it could be coming from just floor tiles, shower curtains, the home environment, even cleaning products could have some phthalate, that the children in their study, the women with the most phthalate in their urine had kids that, as they were developing their respiratory systems, had like a 75% higher risk of becoming asthmatic. And this is in the inner city where kids already have two strikes against them because there's more pollution and just higher and higher dust mite levels in the inner city. And so kids generally have higher, 2 to 3 times the suburban rate in the inner city for asthma. And on top of that, phthalates are making it worse, according to this new Columbia University data. So it suggests that anyone out there, when you're pregnant, you want to be aware of phthalates are in your environment. And number one source is probably cosmetics. Again, look for cosmetics that are free of quote-unquote fragrance on the label. Essential oils are fine if you want to smell good, but try to avoid in your deodorant and in your cosmetics and in your body lotion, anything that says fragrance, because that's likely a code word for a carrier of phthalate.
So the one exception that I know of, Gary, and I hope this is correct, is if it says essential oils only,
yes,
then it can have a fragrance but not have a phthalate with it.
Yeah. The essential oils carry their own natural fragrance, but it wouldn't say perfume. P-A-R-F-U-M-E, perfume on a label is the same thing as fragrance, and that will often be this cocktail of synthetic fragrance that some people are allergic to, but often typically has phthalate as a carrier, and that is what you want to avoid. If it says perfume, or if it just says the word fragrance on the label, if it says essential oil, you're much better off.
Gotcha. Now, why are the Alabama veterans at risk? We've only got 15 seconds, so Gary, we're going to carry that over to next week. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Great segment with Gary Ginsberg. We'll be back in 3 minutes.